Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verse 18. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible, the last verse of chapter 4. We're going to pick up where we left off a few weeks ago, started a series called Cluttered with the Temporal. Cluttered with the Temporal. And I want to read the Amplified Bible translation of that last verse because there's some thoughts in here that are brought out that I think are very important and I want to encourage you with tonight. Listen as I read the last verse of chapter 4. Since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are visible are temporal. Not might be, not could be, but are temporal. Brief and fleeting. But the things that are invisible, now listen, are deathless and everlasting. We don't use that word deathless very often, but it's a good way to describe the eternal, deathless. That registers in our minds. That registers in our minds. We were talking last night about our cat is getting up in years, and she's going through some behavioral changes, which indicates to me that it's not going to be too much longer, and she's going to go where kitty cats go whenever they're finished with this world. And I'm not going to say anything further about that. But I just little telltale signs that, you know, we're moving toward that time. And there's finality there. You know, when you have a cat that's been with you for most of the years that your children have been, I'm going to miss the cat more than the kids. No, I'm just kidding. But that time is coming. And so we've had a big debate. Are we going to get a dog or are we going to get a cat or are we just going to let things be for a while? And I think the third option is right now leading the way on the percentages of the vote cast by my wife, which is the supremacy of the house. Whatever my honey says is what we have to do. So right now, if the cat goes on to cat glory or wherever they go, we'll probably not do anything for a while, which much to the chagrin of my daughter, who wants an animal of some sort in the house. And she doesn't really care what it is, and that's what bothers me because I want to have some control over that. But anyway, our lives are dominated by the news of death. There's a little bit of finality to that on our end of things, but really, it's not a final thing at all. It's a final thing related to your decision, the decision of your eternal life. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ, then your eternal life has already been set. You just move on to be with Him. But if you've chosen to reject His Son, Jesus Christ, then there is all eternity in a devil's hell. The Bible says, makes that very clear, the eternal lake of fire, where the worm dieth not, the Bible says. In other words, death is always prevalent, everlasting death, dying over and over and over again, but it never ceasing. I cannot imagine why anyone would reject Jesus Christ for the temporal because that's all they're doing. You understand that? When a person rejects Jesus Christ, it's not because they're concerned about their ideas of eternity. They're only thinking about right now, the temporal, dominating their thoughts. Now, why is that true? I think it's important for us to understand that in all honesty, we are more impressed by the temporal than we are the eternal. Why? Because we can see the temporal, and I can't see the eternal. So because we're limited to our five senses here, we have a tendency to think, wow, the temporal's pretty good. You know, that's what we ought to be. You know, the question really is, it's all about perspective. Let me give you an illustration. My wife and I and Chris and Brenda and Wayne and Peg went up to Alaska and took a cruise from Anchorage all the way down the Inner Passage all the way down to Vancouver, British Columbia. One of the most beautiful trips I've ever witnessed in my life. And when we're in that Inner Passage, we passed a couple of mountains. One of them along the coastal mountains was Mount Waddington at 14,000 feet. I mean, massive mountain right there, and you're just like trying to take it all in. And then a little bit further down, there was another one, Monarch Mountain. That's only 12,000 feet. But you know what I lost when I saw those mountains? Pea Ridge didn't mean a whole lot to me anymore. Stone Mountain wasn't as tall. Whenever I was a kid, Stone Mountain was the biggest mountain I'd ever seen in my life. It's only, you know, at the highest point, 900 and something feet. But when you're a kid, everything is bigger. When you're standing up there, you think you're going to reach up there and touch the airplanes coming by. And you're way up there on top looking down, and all the people look like ants down below. It's all about perspective, right? You're on top of Stone Mountain. It can't get any better than this until you see Mount Waddington at 14,000 feet. Or you see some other mountain in a distant place that's just massive, unbelievable size. And then all of a sudden, Pea Ridge is not that big anymore. That's about as big as you get in Florida, Pea Ridge. The highest point in Florida is 325 feet, and that's near Baker. That's as high as it gets. There's no mountain vistas in Florida. There's just little hills. I used to think that the Grand Canyon must be just like the clay pit behind the O'Pager's house. When I was growing up, we'd go over there and we would play with Eric, and we'd go out in the clay pit. And I said, surely this is what the Grand Canyon's like. And when you're a little kid and you're looking up at this big old clay wall right there, and you try to climb it and you can't get up to the top, and you said, wow, until you go to the Grand Canyon. And you said, that's not even worth spitting at, the one we were at. I mean, that's ridiculous. What's the difference? Perspective. Perspective. You know what our problem is? We haven't let God grow our perspective. We're too busy. We don't let God, don't be bothering me about eternity. I got right now. This is what I got right now. Don't bother me with eternal type stuff. I don't want to think that'll come in time. That's what we think. It'll come in time. Do you know you're going to be held to account what you did in this time? And what your perspective was? Because your perspective changes how you live. And by the way, rewards are based upon how we lived during the temporal. Are you starting to get the connection here? You starting to see where God needs to take over my perspective? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be embarrassed before the throne of God. I've often thought about, what's it going to be like when we stand there before the one whose hands are pierced, whose feet is pierced, to see the thorned scars on his brow, and you realize it was my sin that put those scars on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I start looking around at what I did in my life. Wood, hay, stubble. And God reaches over there, and He doesn't have to light a match. If He can cast brimstone out of heaven, He can do whatever. And He just goes, poof, and all my works from my life, poof. And then you got this little bitty pile because you lived for yourself. Your perspective was limited to the temporal. Little bitty pile of gold, precious stones, and that's what we got to give to Jesus. The one who gave me His all, that's all I'm going to give Him? Because I was so wrapped up in the temporal that I couldn't think beyond that? I'm going to tell you something. We need our perspective adjusted. We're over here all enamored with Pea Ridge, and there's mountain vistas that will blow you away. The mountain vista of the throne of God. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? I'm going to tell you something. We're more cluttered with the temporal than we're willing to admit. We're more cluttered with the temporal than we're willing to admit, and yet we think it's so wonderful, it's so good. You see, folks, time is supposed to be preparing us for eternity. Not time just being lived out till we have to go to eternity. That's how a lot of people view life. I'm just here. I'm just living my days out. I'm going to get all I can out of this world, then I'm going to go on to heaven. Oh, it's going to be so great. Oh, wait a minute. What are you going to do when it's reward time? And you want to have something to cast at that point at the feet of Jesus, and what you've got is a little bit of nothing because you lived your life for yourself and you just had a big fire burn up everything you've got, and there you are with this little bitty pile, and you're going to take that and you're going to give that to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, have you ever been where you really did something? I mean, you just really did something for somebody and they didn't say thank you? Now, understand me. We're all human. Don't say, well, that doesn't bother me. They don't say thank you to me. It does bother you. It does bother me. If you work really hard for somebody and you go the extra mile and then they just jump in and poof, they're gone and, well, what was that all about? Why did I do all that? It's happened many, many times. We just keep going on. Amen? But it's still in the back of your mind. You know, they weren't very thankful. They didn't. You know, that why did I do that? And then next time, we're all human. Next time, I'm not going to do that for them. I didn't say thank you last time. Right? Yeah. Do you know that Jesus is not that way? He's not that way. He's not going to look at you in heaven and say, look at that mess. There's nothing but a pile of ashes. I died for them. He's not that way. We're that way because we live in the temporal. That's our perspective. But God's not that way. God doesn't get all bent out of shape. You'll have your reward. Because that's how you lived. You lived with a limited perspective. It was just stuck on the temporal. That's your reward. That's what you're going to take away. But God's not going to tell you you can't stay here in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? In spite of that, on some having compassion, making a difference. James talks about snatching them from the fire. That's our Jesus. We need to have an eternal perspective. And not be so impressed by the temporal. Boy, I tell you, the temporal is so appealing. So I've got to have that. I got to get this. New whiz bang out there. I got to have it. All right, in 3 years, let me make a prediction. The whiz bang will be whiz banged out. Right? And then you got a whole drawer full of whiz bangs. I got a whole drawer full of phones. Old phones. It's like the history of gospel projects. I remember right in this auditorium, sitting over here, Dr. Hobbs came in the door. He had just gotten a cell phone. One of my soccer coaches was a Cellular One representative. And he said, Dr. Hobbs, I'm going to get you a cell phone. So he got him a cell phone. Now back then, cell phones were like massive. All right? It had more flips on it. You just kept unfolding it till it was about that big. And you had to dial an 800 number first, get an operator. I'd like to connect to 623, you know, person down the street. All right, we're connecting you right now. And you'd hear this, be-doo-doo, and all of a sudden they'd pick up the phone. You have 2 minutes before your money runs out. And what do? Trying to remember all the things you're supposed to say. Then you had to go down and you had to pay. You had to go buy the little cards and get the money put out. It was crazy. And then they came out with non-flip phones, okay? Then they came out with sliders. Woo! Got to have one of those. Then the smartphones came out. Anybody wanting to go back to the 4? iPhone 4? Anybody? Oh, no, we're past that, man. We're in the X, 10, 11. I don't even know what the numbers are now. I'm still in the middle somewhere, and it takes all I can do to get that one under control. My point is this. It's about perspective. It's about perspective. Do I really need all the whiz-bang things that's out there? Not really. You learn real quick. They cost a lot of money. Yeah. Whiz-bang. We got it. Then we have to fix it. Then we have to replace the battery in it. And the battery costs almost as much as the whole phone. Then you start looking for another one. You know, it's just a rapid snowball, and you're right in the middle of it with arms flailing as you're going down the hillside with all your whiz bangs. Perspective. Perspective. Temporal is not all it's cut out to be. Number two, and I'm just going to touch on this. This look at the things not seen is only possible through Jesus Christ. I came to this realization as it's just like, you know, you have one of those epiphanies. You can't have an eternal perspective unless you know Jesus. There is no eternal perspective unless you come to Jesus and have Him transform your heart and life. And then all of a sudden, a whole new world is opened up. The eternal. I think that a lot of evangelists and preachers, and I'm guilty of this, spend a lot of time trying to help unsaved people live Christian lives. That's a hard realization to come to. Well, we have to accept what they say. They said they're a Christian. We have to accept that. No, we don't. By their fruit you shall know. No fruit. You start wondering, hey, what's going on here? You know, there's only so many years you can go out to your pear tree and it doesn't produce pears and you start to wonder. We had several pear trees in our yard when we purchased our property. Man, I was so excited. And then we had the world's smallest pears. And I stood under this big pear tree with these big leaves and little tiny, I'm telling you, they weren't this big. What's going on? What's going on with this? Waited another year. I trimmed it back a little bit, pruned it, you know. We're gonna have pears. We produced probably a grand total, I don't know, 5 or 6 pears in one season. They were actually a decent size, but they tasted terrible. They tasted, I could have eaten dirt and had better flavor than what came out of that tree. 4 years went by. You know what I did? I cut it down. I had 3 pear trees left. They all got the black blight. Had to cut every one of them down. I don't have a single pear tree in my yard right now. Now, I had such high hopes that I was going to have pears. But it just wasn't in them. It just wasn't in them to produce good pears. And unless you have Jesus in you, you won't produce good fruit. You won't produce any fruit. You won't know anything about eternity until Jesus comes and dwells in your life. I wonder sometimes if the reason that we don't have an eternal perspective is that we don't have the eternal Savior in our hearts and in our lives. And I'm going to leave you with that thought tonight. Maybe we need to examine our hearts. Maybe we need to take accounting here and say, wait a minute now, you know, I do spend a lot of time dwelling on this world. I spend a lot of time thinking about this world and all the things I'm going to do and all the things I'm going to have, and eternity just rarely comes across as a little blip on the radar screen of my life. Every once in a while I think about eternity. Your perspective is wrong, and it needs to be changed. It needs to be changed. Father in heaven, I thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we know that the temporal is something that doesn't last. And yet it seems that in our world, that's all we think about, that's all we dwell on, are the temporal things that will one day be destroyed. Oh, how we need to have a perspective change. And that means we need Jesus Christ dwelling in our hearts and lives. And then we'll get a new perspective, a radical change of thinking that takes us away from the temporal and focuses on the deathless, the eternal. Pray, Father, that you work in our hearts, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.